Paul's Ministry at Melanta and at Rome by Pastor Mark Hornbaker, First Baptist Church, Lewis, Kansas.
Hang on to your seat today, because we're going to finish Acts, the book of Acts. And if you recall, we stopped at chapter 27. So we got two chapters. Now, I'd dare you read part of it, because it's a key part. But really what the whole rest of the book is about Paul's witness. Paul had a witness for the Lord Jesus Christ. And we will say right up front that each of you have a witness for Jesus Christ. Hopefully you have a good witness for Christ. You know, because we can have one of two kinds of witnesses. We can have a good one or a bad one. And I pray that our witness for the Lord will always be a good and powerful witness for Him. Let's pray before we get going. Lord, guide us this morning. Give us Your thoughts, Your words. Help us to share this portion of Scripture, because it really all goes together. It's Paul as he's in varying situations, from being on a ship and being with others and sharing how You're right there with them. Lord, we just pray that You'll help us to understand all those things. And as he concludes there in Rome, we understand that he spent a couple of years there just testifying concerning Christ and what Christ does in our lives when they turn our lives over to Him. Help us always to be ready to give an answer of anyone who asks of the hope that lies within us. Help us to be ready to and full of the Word of God to share it. Help us to hide that Word in our hearts so that we don't even need to open the Word if we don't have it handy with us. But Lord, if we have the Word handy, help us always be quick to open the book, Your book, and to share that truth with others. We believe Your Word, goes when it goes forth, it will not return void. God, that Your Word will have its mighty effect on lives, either for good or for bad, because some will receive and some will reject. Help us, Lord, to not get discouraged, but know that Your purposes will always be fulfilled. And God, we just praise You that You have give us a part in that sharing of the gospel with others. Guide us this morning. Help us to speak clearly, concisely, and quickly, Lord, these truths. We ask and pray in Christ's name. Amen. We've got a lot of ground to cover, so hang on to your seat this morning, because we intend fully to finish the book this morning, because we believe these two chapters really need to be going together. And be also glad that we're not here from morning to evening, as Paul was, sharing with the Jews that come to ask him concerning himself and why he was there in the position he was. So let's begin with chapter 27, verse 1, and we'll read a few verses, and then we'll skip ahead. It says, it was determined that we should sail to Italy. Remember, Paul had appealed to Caesar, so they'd send him to Rome. That's Rome, Italy. And he was in Caesarea, which is actually a southern home for the main leader of that particular group. They'd go from Jerusalem to Caesarea. And so as it was coming on toward fall, late fall, he would probably be down there at Caesarea still. They delivered Paul and certain other prisoners to one named Julius, a centurion of Augustus' band. And of course, he's talking about Augustus Caesar there. Caesar's band, that was a select group of soldiers. Many times they would have the select groups there in this particular region because, hey, Jerusalem and Judea was a hot spot. If you were the leader of a great nation, a combination of nations, the Roman Empire, you would want some top soldiers there too. because they'd put out the fires. And there was always some insurrection coming up and springing up there in the Jerusalem region. So that's why these top soldiers were sent there. It says they entered into a ship, were launched, being to sail the coast of Asia. One Aristarchus, a Macedonian, a Thessalonica, being with us. Now, Aristarchus, is mentioned in the chapter 19, verse 29, and also in chapter 20, verse 4. He's also mentioned in Colossians chapter number 4, verse 10, as one who was with Paul. He was one of Paul's assistants or helpers. Aristarchus had come to the Lord. Aristarchus was, in fact, we learned from Colossians, he was from Thessalonica originally. But he had determined to go along with Paul and help him, assist him in the work. Paul had a number of people that were with him throughout his ministry. Helpers and assisters and those that encouraged him and helped him in the work of sharing the gospel of Christ. And Aristarchus went along with them. It says, the next day we touched at Sidon, and Julius, that is the centurion in charge, entreated Paul and gave him liberty to go to his friends and refresh himself. And so Paul got off ship there in that particular region, went among some of his friends or fellow believers, and was refreshed. Let's jump down to verse 9. Now when some time was spent, the sailing was now dangerous because the fast was now already past. Paul admonished them, they're on the ship, and said to them, "Sirs, I perceive this voyage will be with hurt and much damage, not only of the lading, that is the cargo, and ship, but also of our lives. Nevertheless, the centurion believed the master and owner of the ship more than those things which Paul spoke." Okay, so eventually along in the voyage, it appears that Paul advised them that there's going to be trouble ahead. They were in the time of the year, the fast was already past. Verse 9, that would be somewhere between about the middle of September, guess where we're at? Middle of September and in October. Okay? That's the equinox time. Okay? At equinox time, many times you get turbulent weather. You have a changing of seasons. That's also true in the Mediterranean. During that particular time of year, things are changing. Things are rearranging. Guess what time we have hurricanes? Generally in the fall time, just about the time right now. Okay? Guess what we've had? Hurricanes. Off time in the Mediterranean. The sea is contrary. And they can get bad storms on the contrary, and guess what they ran into? A bad storm. Paul is advising them, this is the bad time of the year. Okay, but instead, they don't listen to Paul. They decide to go on. Verse 12. Because the haven, let's see, where did we stop? I believe the master and the owner more than things that Paul spoke. And because the haven was not one commodious to winter in, the more Paul advised to depart also, that's where they were ported right then. It wasn't a good port for winter. If by any means they might attain to Phoenice and there a winter, which was a haven of Crete and lie toward the southwest and northwest. And so they intended to get to this other port, a place where they might winter. Verse 13, and when the south wind blew softly, supposing they had attained their purpose, loosening hence, they sailed close by Crete. But not long after there arose again a tempestuous wind called Euratacum, That is a great wind, or some think it might have been almost on the form of a hurricane. Could you imagine being on a ship, a wooden ship in those days? Not a huge ship, but we find later on that there were 276 persons on board, so it's no small ship. In those days, it was a rather large ship, would pull head in tow another small boat behind. So probably from some of your experience, whether it's on TV or whatnot, you might have seen maybe pirates or something. They'd drop off a small ship and they'd come to shore and leave the big boat out away from the shore. Well, that's kind of what they had, the big ship and the little ship. And here they are out on the ocean, and they get into this huge wind. It says in verse 15, when the ship was caught and could not bear up under the wind, we let her drive, or in other words, we let her have her way. She went with the waves. Could you imagine what that would feel like? Day upon day, there they were on the sea. Up and down, up and down. After a while, they get close by another piece of land. Verse 21, but after a long abstinence, in other words, they hadn't eaten for a long time, Paul stood forth in the midst of them and says, sirs, you should have hearkened to me and not have loosed from Crete and have gained this harm and loss. Now I exhort you, be of good cheer, for there shall be no loss of any man's life among you, but of the ship. For there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose servant I am, saying, fear not, Paul, thou must be brought before Caesar, and though God hath given thee all them that sail with thee, therefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God that it shall be even as he told me. Howbeit, we must be cast about upon a certain island. And so what Paul does is he stands up and he says, sirs, we shouldn't have left, but we have. Okay? Furthermore, God has appeared by his messenger, an angel, and he's explained to me that we're going to lose the ship, but none of you will be lost. Your lives will all be saved. We'll be cast off on an island, and we'll all be saved. Now, I'm here this morning to tell you that God does that many times. And in fact, it didn't depend on all the other people. It depended on God and his mission and plan to use the apostle in his company. Many times God spares the unrighteous for the sake of the righteous that he's going to use on down the line. Okay? Are you following me? This morning, and that's very important. Remember, that's God's principle starting even way back in the book of Genesis. Remember the conversation God had with Abraham concerning Sodom? Abraham's question to God was this, if you recall, will God destroy the righteous with the wicked? And then they had that back and forth bit. Abraham said, if I can find 50 righteous souls in Sodom, will you destroy it? God said, no. And he got it clear down to 10. And he couldn't find 10. But let me say this, God did not destroy the city until the righteous departed. Although the righteous were very few, God intended to use those very few later on. And he spared them for a time, didn't he? God's doing the same thing here. God's giving further opportunity to those that don't know the Lord, because those that know the Lord, and further, those that God has a further plan to use, who are his servants, these people, and he doesn't want them destroyed, and so he saves them in that storm. It's rather interesting that we had a similar discussion this morning in Sunday school. And the example there was Jesus Christ on the boat. Remember that story? How that Jesus Christ told his disciples, we're going to go across this sea over to the Decapolis, I believe it was. Y'all realize what kind of a city Decapolis was? That's where all those heathen lived. All those unbelievers. All those unrighteous people over there. Anybody from... No. We've got some cities like that around today, don't we? I mean, they just are like water and oil. They don't mix. And I can imagine what those disciples thought when Jesus said, go across, get in the boat, and we're going to go across over there where all those heathen live. Remember the storm came up? The disciples, a number of whom were experienced seamen, were extremely afraid. They said, Lord, don't you care that we're drowning? And here was the Lord sleeping away. Well, they woke him up and advised him that they're going to drown. Do something, God. You know, that's like us, isn't it? Now, we get ourselves out there in the middle. We know God has directed us this way, right? I mean, if Jesus says, go across to the other side, you probably better be going, hadn't you? But then you get partway to your destination, and some calamity comes up, and we say, God, was that really you telling me to go this way? Right? And so we're wondering whether it was God or was somebody else. You know what? The devil does those kind of tricks on us too, doesn't he? And that was the case in Jesus' time. Here we have Paul on the way to Rome because God wants Paul to be a witness in Rome. That's probably the reason we have the book of Romans. Because Paul went there, we already know because Gary read that he was there at least 2 years, wasn't he? Sharing the word, and people could come and go, and basically Paul was just under house arrest, and there was a soldier there guarding him or watching him, and he stayed there, and anybody that wanted to could come to Paul and listen to Paul, and he explained to them the things concerning the gospel. So Paul says, here to these individuals, don't fear, we're going to be saved. And guess what? Things happen exactly as Paul said. Verse 36. After a while, Paul advises them there to take some food. King James says meat, but what it means is food. Guys, take some food. You haven't eaten for a long time. It's time for you to... it'd been days. They were out there bobbing up and down. Probably if you eat something anyway, it probably wouldn't have set very good anyway, would it? You ever been out of a ship? I was on Canopolis one time with friends when I was not... well, probably... out of high school anyway, we went fishing. And they can get fairly tall waves on Canopolis. But that's nothing compared to the Mediterranean. I mean, it can get... and you'd be going... and here they are. Paul said, take some food, verse 36. When they had eaten enough, they lighted the boat and cast out the wheat into the sea. That was part of the cargo, by the way. The wheat that they were carrying back from the Holy Land area over to Italy. And they raised wheat in Holy Land, didn't they? So they were taking that as part of their cargo. And when it was day, they knew not the land, but they discovered a certain creek with a shore, that is, there was a bay or whatever there, and they were minded, if possible, to thrust the ship into that. Remember, they've already cast out four anchors they cast out of the ship already, and here they are, bobbing around out there, and the anchors probably aren't hitting anything on the bottom, and they're just flailing along out there. And when they had taken up the anchors, verse 40, they committed themselves to the sea and loosed the rudder bands. And I want you to notice one little detail there. It says rudder bands. There's multiple bands. So there were probably multiple rudders. In this side of ship, often they had more than just the one rudder. They'd have extra rudders to help steer, navigate that boat. They were out there on the sea. And so here they are going up and down. And they took those anchors, they loosed the rudders, which they probably held fast, and hoisted up the mainsail of the wind and made toward shore. And falling to a place where two seas met, they ran the ship aground. It's probably an underground sandbar was in there, and they ran into this sandbar. They couldn't see it, but they ran right into it. And put themselves on that. And the forepart struck fast and remained unmovable, but the hinder part was broken with the violence of the waves. Here they are. They're stuck on this sandbar, and the waves are just crashing against the backside of that boat. Okay, and it's breaking to pieces. And the soldiers' counsel was to kill the prisoners, least any of them should swim and escape. Okay? We don't want these guys escaping on us. Remember, we've told you that before? I mean, if the Romans, that's why they put a seal on the tomb of Christ. They didn't want that body stole out of there. And somebody say he'd risen from the dead. So they put that seal on there. Boy, if you had somebody like that escape, it'd be your life. And so they advised, well, there's one way we can get them from not escaping. We can just kill them all, and they'll think they just drowned in the shipwreck. Okay? And so that's probably their thinking. But the centurion, willing to save Paul, verse 43, kept them from their purpose and commanded that they should swim, that they that could swim should cast themselves first to the sea and get to land. The rest, some on boards, some on broken pieces of the ship. And so it came to pass they all escaped safe the land. Now that's exactly what Paul had predicted, wasn't it? That's what Paul said the angel told me. God's angel, the messenger, delivered me this message, and it came to pass exactly the way it was predicted, because God was in control. God's still in control. And when we listen to God, He'll give us direction. He'll show us the right way. He'll help us to be safe in our way, and harm will not come to us. Like we've said before many times, God is going to leave us here as long as God has a work for us to do here. Amen? He'll leave us on this earth, and He'll have a work for us to do. And as long as He leaves you here, He has a work for you to do. Amen? All of us can be a witness, can't we? All of us can live a life that in itself is a witness for Jesus Christ. And if we do that, God will give us opportunity to share the word of truth with people around us. What a blessing it is to be God's servant, because God will make us a blessing to others as we do that. Chapter 28, verse 1. When they were escaped, they knew that the land was called Melita, that is Malta, and the barbarous people showed us no little kindness, for they kindled a fire and received us everyone because of the present rain and because of the cold. So fall rain had set in. Now, I guarantee you, if you had to stay out with no protection in a cold fall rain, you could get sick pretty easy. Okay, but these people invited them in. Remember, there's 276 of them there. And when Paul was gathering a bundle of sticks, verse 3, laid them on the fire, there came a viper out of the heat and fastened on his hand. And when the barbarians saw the venomous beast, that's many times what they call snakes, venomous beasts, hang on his hand, they said among themselves, no doubt this man is a murderer, whom though he escaped the sea, yet vengeance suffereth not to live. Now, here's the thinking of many people who don't know the Lord. Okay? In fact, some people that know the Lord believe these things too. Okay? Their thought is this. If I do something bad, there's going to be a payday someday. In other words, if I do a great harm, something's going to come back my way. And this snake bit him on the hand and hung on. To those people, that would say this guy did something with his hands to harm others. And because of that, God is paying him back for what he did. Okay? And they usually thought it was something bad was happening to you because you'd done something bad. Okay? I'm here this morning to tell you there is a payday someday. Sometimes people don't pay in this life. But everybody's going to stand before the judge of all the earth and they'll give an account to God of the deeds done in the body. Whether good or bad, all people will stand. There's going to be a great resurrection day someday. Okay? All people, small and great, will be raised up, whether the righteous or unrighteous. And they'll come to different judgments, of course, but all will have to stand before the judge of all the earth and give an account to God. And there's going to be a judgment on those that believe not, isn't there? So the viper hang on. They thought he was being punished. Verse 5. He shook off the beast of the fire and felt no harm. Howbeit, they looked. When he should have swollen or fallen dead suddenly, but after they had looked a great while, and so no harm came to him, they changed their minds and said he was a god. Now, but notice the variance of belief. First they think he's the chiefest of sinners. In fact, Paul said, I'm the chiefest of sinners, didn't he? I was the chiefest of sinners before my conversion. Now they think, hey, this guy Paul, he must be a god because a deadly snake bit him and it had no effect on him. It didn't swell up. Nothing happened to him, but I bet that swelled up, didn't it?
Well, you bet it swelled my leg too.
Yeah, it that venom of that, what was it?
Cotton mouth. They don't turn loose, they all hang on.
Yeah. And even when they're dead, they'll writhe for hours after they're dead. Their head's severed.
Yes.
Dead snake. But so they were looking at this guy, Paul. The snake bit him, they think, first, man, this guy must be a bad sinner. God's punishing him for what he did wrong. But he didn't die. And then their mind flipped the other way. They said, this guy must be a god. That snake, that deadly snake bit him and nothing happened to him. You know why?
Because he's a god.
Because God was with him, wasn't he?
Yes.
God was protecting him and keeping him because God still had a work for Paul to do. Amen? Ordinarily, I would advise you to get somewhere quickly. But I understand there are several snakes you can get bit by And if you get bit by a green or black mamba out of Africa, you might as well kiss it all goodbye.
Yep.
Because you're dead in less than a minute. It'll stop your heart. You're dead.
Paralyzed your heart.
You just, there you are. Paul got bit by a deadly snake. He's still alive. In fact, he doesn't even swell out. God was with him. It showed God's miraculous power, and they said, this guy's got to be a god. And they began the process to worship him. Now, notice the response. In the same quarters, there were possessions of the chief man of the island, whose name was Publius, who received us and lodged us 3 days courteously. And it came to pass, when the father of Publius lay sick of a fever and of a bloody flux, to whom Paul entered in and prayed, laid his hands on him and healed him, so that when this was done, others also, which had diseases on the island, came and were healed, who also honored us with many honors, and when we departed, they laden us with such things as were necessary. In other words, they would need stuff to depart, to go on their trip. They supplied those as well. But when Paul was there, he blessed them, didn't he? I mean, I'm sure that Paul would share the gospel with them. And by the way, one of the gifts that Paul had was the gift of tongues, if you may recall. And when you begin to interpret that, you find out that Paul said to the Corinthians, I speak in more tongues, that is, more languages, than all of you. And Paul had this gift of languages. When he'd come to another people, he would speak in the language that they spoke in. Had he learned it? Had he been trained in it? No. But God, by the Spirit of God, enabled him to speak the word of God so the people could believe. Wow. Is that powerful or not? I mean, that's the power of the Holy Spirit, getting the word out about Jesus Christ, because God's will is not any should perish, but all should come to repentance. See, he wants people to know about his Son, Jesus Christ, and what he's done for them. Why? Because it's the greatest gift anybody could ever receive.
Amen.
Salvation through Christ is the only way a person can ever get to heaven. They've got to come to know him. You know, without the hearing of the word, people can't believe. They've got to hear. And they've got to receive God's truth in their heart and life. And then the Spirit of God can come into them and use them for great and mighty works too. Isn't it amazing how God works? God used these individuals. God used Paul. I jotted down a little note here concerning that. In Genesis chapter 12, verse 3, God gave a special promise to Abraham and his seed after him. And the promise is this: God blesses those who bless his people. Maybe we just ought to go over there. Genesis chapter 12. You know, do you realize that Genesis is the book of beginnings? It shows us many great promises and blessings that God has for his people. Genesis 12:3, God speaking to Abraham said, I will bless them that bless thee, curse those that curse thee, in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. Why? God has a special place for Israel. Okay? God sent his Son Jesus Christ through that nation. And God said, I'll bless those that bless thee. Guess what Paul was? He said, I'm a Hebrew of the Hebrews, but I know Jesus. I know him as my personal Savior. And you know what? They're Jews that by faith believe God, just like Abraham. Follow me. Spiritual Jew. Do you realize you're a spiritual Jew if you believe in Jesus? Are you following me? Okay. That's a truth that we find in God's Word. God promised Abraham he will make his seed as the sand of the sea. Israel never got very big. But there's a lot of people that have the like faith of Abraham. Okay? And you know what the Word of God says concerning Abraham? He believed God, and God counted that to him for righteousness. You know how you're saved? You believe God. You believe upon Him as your Savior, and He saves you. That's why I say we're spiritual Jews. Not physical, no, but spiritual. Because we have a like faith that Abraham had, the Father that went before us. Jesus Christ came to provide that for us. Provide salvation through Himself. So Paul eventually gets to Rome. And Brother Gary read this part. We'll just kind of skim through there. They came to Rome, verse 16. The centurion delivered the prisoner to the captain of the guard, but Paul was suffered to dwell by himself with a soldier that kept him. Okay? Then he calls all the others to come, the Jewish people, and he explains to them that they examined me, Paul, and then they let me go because I had no cause of death in me. But then the Jews spoke against it, and I was constrained to appeal to Caesar. And so he makes this appeal. Remember Felix and Augustus had that conversation back in previous chapters? And Augustus, he said, hey, he could have been let go. But he appealed to Caesar. And so to Caesar he must go. You know what? If you get in trouble, you have a right to, don't you? Because you're a citizen. Paul was a Roman citizen. And the right the Roman citizens has, they could appeal. And they could go to the highest court there was, and in that day it was Caesar. Paul said, I appeal to Caesar. I don't want to go to Rome. I don't want to go to Jerusalem. Because probably God had given him an inclination. He knew that they had this pact between at least 40 individuals says, we're going to kill Paul when they bring him up from Caesarea up to Jerusalem. We're going to kill him on the way. By the way, that's the very place where Jesus talked about when the Good Samaritan, remember that story? Good Samaritan story. And the man got wounded and on the way from Jericho to Jerusalem. Well, Caesarea is right on down there too. And anyway, all of that is important to know because it shows us where they were and why Paul was where he was. Verse 19, when the Jews spoke against it, I was constrained to appeal to Caesar. Verse 20, for this cause therefore, I called for you to see you and to speak to you because for the hope of Israel am I bound with these chains. In other words, that hope that Israel had that there would be a Messiah sent, that's why I'm here. Because I'm being persecuted because I'm one of those individuals. And they said to him, we neither received letters out of Judea concerning thee, neither any of the brethren that came, showed, or spake any harm of thee. But we desire to hear of thee what thou thinkest, for we are concerned. For us as concerning this sect, and that's what they call the Christians here, this sect, we know that everywhere it is spoken against, that is all the Jews spoke against the Christians. And when they had appointed him a day, they came, many of them, to his lodging, to whom he expounded and testified the kingdom of God, persuading them concerning Jesus, both out of the law of Moses, out of the prophets, from morning to evening. Aren't you glad? I don't intend to stay here from morning to evening. That'd be a long sermon, wouldn't it? Paul was known to have some long ones.
Better serve lunch if you do.
Yeah, you better pack your lunch and bring it with you. Because you're in for a long day. Paul spoke. Y'all notice that? It says from morning to evening. Wow. I don't think we better try that. Some believe the things which were spoken, some believe not. That's always the result, isn't it? Some believe, some don't believe. Our job is not persuading. That's the Spirit's job. Our job is simply to share the word of truth so that people can hear and so that the Spirit of God can work in people's lives. And they agreed not among themselves. They departed. After that, Paul had spoken one word. Well spoke the Holy Ghost by Isaiah. So that is Isaiah, the prophet. And this is found in Isaiah 6, 9 and 10. Go unto this people and say, hearing ye shall hear and shall not understand, and seeing ye shall see and not perceive. For the heart of this people is waxed gross, their ears are dull of hearing, their eyes have been closed, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their heart, and ye be converted, and I should heal them. That sounds like Israel, doesn't it? Sometimes it's almost like us, sadly. Now, I know a lot of people that heard the gospel again and again and never received it. That's a sad commentary. And the reason that's sad is only by receiving the word and believing the word can we be saved. Amen. That's the only way. For by grace are you saved through faith, not of yourselves. It's a gift of God, not of works. Yeah. Lest any man should boast. Salvation is all of God. God is the worker. His Spirit is taking the word. He's convicting our hearts. But we've got to say yes to Him. Yes, Lord, yes. Come into my life. Wash away my sin. Make me clear and clean and right within. That needs to be our answer. Paul further says, be it known to you, salvation of God is sent unto the Gentiles that they will hear it. Praise God. When he said these words, the Jews departed and had great reasoning among themselves. Paul dwelt 2 full years there and received all that came to him, preaching the kingdom of God, teaching those things concerning the Lord Jesus Christ with all confidence, no man forbidding him. You know, no man is forbidding us today. We need to be diligent about the work of preaching the gospel of Christ. Jesus Christ is the answer. That's whom Paul preached. That's whom we must still preach till Jesus comes for his own. One day he's coming. We need to be ready for that day. We need to be ready as many others as we can, just like Paul did. He was busy about the work as long as God gave him the opportunity and the day and the wherewithal to do it. May God give us the grace and strength to do the same thing in our day. Amen. That's what God wants for us. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the diligence, the patience, Lord, and the courage displayed in your servant, Paul. God, help us to be equally faithful and diligent in our day. God, guide us, encourage us, strengthen us all, and help us to be that fabulous testimony for Jesus Christ, even as you showed that Paul was, a witness, clear and loud and consistent. Lord, help us, Lord, to continue to do that in our day. We ask and pray in Christ's name. Amen.